to the Mind Your Hormones podcast. My name's Corinne, and I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist who went from no period from mismanaged PCOS to a regular one. Now I'm obsessed with helping you get hormonally balanced and emotionally aligned. This podcast is all about education, empowerment, real talk, and simple strategies you could start today to find inner peace and overall well-being. I am so excited to be here with you to chat about all things health, hormones, and mindset. Are you ready? Let's get it. What is up? Welcome back to the show. I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. This was like, selfishly, I'm like, I can't wait to have this conversation, but I also know how much it's going to support you, whether you are someone who is currently pregnant, whether you're postpartum like 2 weeks or 2 years is going to help you, and whether you're someone who is trying to conceive right now but will be pregnant at one point, this is really, really going to support you. We're talking with my friend Dee. I actually was in a business mastermind with her like a couple years ago, and what you'll hear in the actual episode, like how this came about, but I'm currently working with her because recently I started noticing changes in my pelvic floor health, right? So I was noticing that like when I had to pee, I would all of a sudden come on. I was like, I have to pee like right now. Like I wasn't leaking or anything like that, but the urge just started to get stronger. And I noticed that like my stomach was sticking out more than usual. And it wasn't a bloat type of thing. Like I've had gut issues so many times in the past. And like, I know when it's a gut kind of related issue, and this wasn't that. And I just noticed differences in my core, just felt a little bit weaker and stuff. And like, even though I'd been exercising, all these things. So I reached out to Dee because I knew we were in a mastermind together, and she's a pregnancy and postpartum fitness coach, and she specializes in core rehab, in prolapse, and diastasis, and cesarean birth recovery. If you're new here, I had a completely natural, unmedicated birth, but I definitely did not do exercises after pregnancy quicker, as soon as I should have, right? Or as soon as I wanted to. We were in the process of moving, packing our house, renovating our new house with a newborn. So it was just like a little intense. So I just really didn't prioritize like getting back into things and rehabbing my core as soon as I probably should have, or in order for maximum healing, which we talk about on the show. But anyway, so I started working with her. I'm in one of her courses. It's been going really, really well. And I'm like, I really want to bring this onto the show and really talk about it. So in this episode, you're really going to just hear us like literally just chatting. Like it's like a friend chatting, you know, the vibe around here, about like what you can actually do during pregnancy, the types of workouts and even breathing and things like that to really help support yourself and support your core. Because no matter what, like when you're pregnant, your abs separate, like, which is called diastasis, which we talk about. Like 100% of women get diastasis who are pregnant. So it's not about like preventing it because you can't. It's really just about like what we can do to make the recovery easier for when you are postpartum. So we talk about what you could do during pregnancy, what you could do in postpartum to help support yourself in early days postpartum, or even when you are like 8 months or 9 months postpartum like I am, or 2 years postpartum, like it doesn't matter. But she's helped thousands of women with her unique approach. She has a definitely different approach with Pilates and strength training. She also does some fascial recovery, which we don't really talk about on this episode, but she's really, really awesome. I love her analogies for things. I really am enjoying her course right now. And it's just really cool to see like how our bodies can actually change. And we talk a lot about like the strain that actually happens on our body during pregnancy and how that can mess up our alignment. Like I'm noticing myself, like I'm clenching my butt more and I'm sticking my belly out. I'm just like in a posture like I was when I was pregnant. And it's hard to just get out of that unless we're aware of it. So we talk a lot about alignment, again, how you could support your pelvic floor during pregnancy, what we could do postpartum, because our pelvic floor is really freaking important, and healing our deep, deep, deep core muscles, not just like, because my outer core muscles are really strong. And she was saying, it's like your outer core is really strong, but it's the inner deep core that we need to work on. So I'm like, I'm not about some outward, you know, like band-aid approach. You already know the vibe with this podcast. We're not about band-aid approaches. I want to get to the root cause. I want to heal what's going on in the inside out, even if it means like taking a step back on the workouts I was doing, which that is what's happening. So it kind of feels like you take a step back when you're doing things like this, but it's actually going to propel you forward because I'm interested in long-term strength and support in my body. So that's what we talk about. I'm really, really excited. I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. Please, as always, let me know how you love it, and let's get right to it. Dee, I'm so excited to have you on the show today for selfish reasons, also because I'm someone who's going through this in real time. So I'm like, I have so many questions I want to ask you. Let's bring you on the show to showcase everything that you do. But this is such an important conversation that I feel like is totally missed, especially in our doctor's offices when we go to like our 6-week postpartum checkup and like, you're fine, you're clear to do everything. And even during pregnancy, there's just so much stuff that we don't know about our pelvic floor health. And even after, like, I'm no expert in this area, hence why I hired you, which we'll talk about. But even like someone who I've been doing Pilates and yoga and stuff for years, there's still so many things that we just don't know postpartum. And like, how our body changes during pregnancy, the load that we're putting on our core once we become mothers, and how things change, and how it could take months even after for you to notice difference. Like, that's what's been going on with me. So before we get into all that though, just introduce yourself, let everyone know who's listening, who you are, what you do. And I would love to know how you got into this space too.
I'm Dee, and I'm a pre and postpartum or postnatal exercise specialist. I've been a trainer for close to 15 years, Pilates instructor as well, and 10 years as a fascial stretch therapist. I started working with pregnant women, probably close to 15 years ago when I was, when I started training, and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was a terrifying experience because I thought I was going to break everyone. I started diving into it a little bit more after, I don't think I was postpartum with my two kids. So I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. But I started falling in love more with like pelvic floor health and, incorporating some stuff that I was learning with clients and realizing like how powerful it was to think of like our whole body in that interconnected system. And I started seeing really good results. And so I was diving into that. And then I had some clients coming in with diastasis and looking for support. And like back like 15 years ago, they didn't know anything about a lot of this.
I'm sure. Even now, a lot of people don't know it. It's like so much more well known now. But yeah, 15 years ago, it's like so much barely was social media.
Yeah. And I mean, what's interesting is my first client with diastasis was a doctor. And
wow.
And that was the first thing that I had heard about it. And she was said, well, my abs have separated. And the only way that we know how to fix it is with surgery. And I was like, oh my gosh, your abs have separated. And I was like blown away because I'd never heard of this.
Yeah. And, yeah. So for someone listening who doesn't know, can you just explain like what you just said, diastasis is when your abs separate, but isn't this something that every pregnant woman will experience? Like it's just inevitable.
Yes. Yeah. So diastasis happens to 100% of women at their due date. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter like if you have twins, it doesn't matter if you're carrying big or small. That is like a stat that they're just like confirming that 100% of women at their due dates are going to have a diastasis. And that's like a fail safe for your core. Mm-hmm. So,
and that just means your abs are separated.
Yeah. So you have your rectus muscles in the middle, like your 6-pack muscles that are like the topmost layer of core muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a connective tissue strip in the middle. So that's your linea alba. So if you've heard of that connective tissue or that strip of fascia. And all of your core muscles attach to it. And so as your belly grows, that fascia will stretch in order to make space for your baby. Mm. And it's like a pressure cooker. So if you've ever used a pressure cooker and like that's that the valve pops up.
Right.
Right. And so like your abs need to split and separate in order for you to create that space. Cause otherwise that space might go somewhere else.
Right.
Like into your diaphragm, creating a hernia or down to your pelvic floor.
Okay.
And so yes, it's a good thing to get it, but in the same respect, you know, if you are getting a diastasis, it probably means that you're going to have less compensations elsewhere.
Right.
But then there's also lots of things we can do to make sure that we're not ending up with like a severe diastasis.
Right. So there's different levels of it. So like there's things you can do during pregnancy to not prevent it, right? Cause that's like not going to happen, but to reduce the severity of it and then heal from it more quickly.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're listening to this right now, we're going to talk about like thing and you're not pregnant yet, or maybe you are pregnant. We're going to talk about ways that you can prevent it. If you're like me and you're postpartum and you're like, I definitely maybe still have diastasis. Like, and then we're going to also talk about ways that you could, you know, help heal that. What I want to get into before we get into the like details of that is like with pelvic floor health in general, like, can you explain how, what's part of your pelvic floor and like, what is like all connected? Cause I know like in your course, you'll talk about like, I don't know the verbiage, but like how, like what your pelvic floor consists of, like, and all the connectedness of it and things that can negatively impact it that we might not even know that we're doing.
Right. Okay. So your pelvic floor is like the hammock at the base of your pelvis.
Okay.
Right. So in the front, you have your pubic bones in the front, you have your tailbone in the back of your pelvis. Mm-hmm. And then I like to say from the insides of your pelvis, you have your hip bones, right? So where your legs are attached to. And if you sit on your hands, you can feel the bony pieces of the bottom of your pelvis. Mm-hmm. And so even if you sit on your hands, you can use your fingertips like right along your, the bottom of your butts and, mm-hmm. and close to your perineum. That's where your pelvic floor is.
Okay.
And so that is like that safety net. It's a hammock for mm-hmm. your pelvic organs. Mm-hmm. It also has your sphincters. So that's mm-hmm. where we have our bladder and bowel movements from. Mm-hmm. That's where we have our menstruation and our, all of that stuff there. Mm-hmm. But your pelvic floor's job is to actually work with mm-hmm. your core and your pelvic, or your core and your diaphragm. And some deeper back muscles at the same time to create like a canister.
Right.
That's, and that canister is like a pop can. Okay. So it's a good, good imagery is to think of like a pop can or even like a cylinder system.
Okay.
If you think of like I don't know much about cars, but like a cylinder in a car.
Me neither. Pop can, like a soda can. For those of you who are not from Canada, the South, and maybe from New York, like me, we don't say pop. Soda.
Right. Soda can. Yeah. So like a soda can, like when you open a tab, the fizz releases.
Right.
Right. And so we create pressure in our body with these like bottom and top of our canister and the sides. And that is your diaphragm in the top, your pelvic floor in the bottom.
Okay.
And then all the way around is like your core muscles, which connect to your back.
Okay.
And
so it's all connected.
It's all connected. And the job with your pelvic floor in that role is yes for organs, yes for, you know, making sure the bottom of our body is safe. It's just mm-hmm. like we have a core in the front, we have a spine in the back, we have our pelvic floor muscles in the bottom.
Right.
But it's to work with the rest of that canister, the rest of the muscles in that canister to make sure that you can generate pressure in order to like do things.
So, which is why if your pelvic floor is weak or tight, like you'll overcompensate like with your back muscles and like your hips or stuff like that, which is what I'm doing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let me give like a backstory so we could use like an actual example of like what's going on with me. Cause you'll be able to explain it and other people will be able to resonate with this. So what I noticed is I definitely had diastasis, right? Like everybody does. And I noticed it quickly after pregnancy. And I had what was it called? Early days?
Yep.
Yeah. I had that. I didn't start it right away. I should have, but we were moving, packing, renovating a house. Like there was so much going on with a newborn that it just was like, I was just not having the time or not prioritizing the time to do it. So what I wish I did was do that stuff sooner. But I then eventually did it probably when I was like 3 or 4 months postpartum, felt really good doing it. Then got back in after I like went through that, got back into doing my more of like, I didn't even do the full thing, but anyway, went into doing my more like Pilates like stuff. And I was like feeling really good. But then recently I'm 8 months postpartum. I started noticing that when I had to pee, I was like, wow, I really have to pee. Like it would just be kind of out of nowhere. Like it wasn't like, oh, I have to pee. And then like, kind of like I had to pee again. You know, it was just kind of like, I didn't feel like I have to pee at all. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I have to pee like right now. No leaking or anything, but it was just like that real intense urge. And that was new. And then I was noticing that, I was super like bloated at the end of the night. And obviously my nutrition background, I'm like, okay, it could be this, it could be this, like with my gut, whatever, there's always stuff like that too. But I'm like, it's not that, like, it's not just that. I'm like, I know there's something else going on, like with my pelvic floor, like there's just something off. So those are things I was experiencing, and like low back pain and stuff like that, which like, I just kind of normalized from like breastfeeding and co-sleeping and like the weird position to get in and lifting the stroller and the car seats, like also heavy. So anyway, I reached out to D and I'm like, what's going on? And you had me do like a move and like a ab move and send you a picture. And you were like, oh, and you could explain what's going on. But I really started noticing this, and it's called like the mom pooch, right? Is what like you like people will recognize it as. And really it's like a structural issue, right? Like with your pelvic floor and diastasis or whatever, that's not healed. So this is why I reached out to Dean. I'm taking one of her courses again right now, because I'm like, I know there's something up, and I don't want to just like slap a Band-Aid on it and keep doing more core exercises or whatever. Like, I really want to heal from the inside out. And I remember you were like, be a beginner. Like, it might seem like you're going backwards with like the moves that you're doing, which it does feel like that. And it like really had to remind myself, like, okay, I know I need to do this though, because now that I am doing more simple things, like I'm noticing just how weak my actual deep core really is. Which it didn't seem like that, because like maybe my upper core or outer or whatever, like not my deep transverse abdominal, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what's really weak. So anyway, if you could explain like the mom pooch for people who are postpartum, right? And then we'll get into how you could prevent this stuff for pregnancy, but people who maybe have this and experience it, because I know like once I started talking about it, a lot of people reached out like, oh my God, I'm experiencing this. Like, what's going on? Maybe they're doing all their exercises and all this stuff, but they're still like not feeling like their stomach is where it should be. And again, like it might never be where it was before you had a baby. Like, you had a baby. That's not the goal, but it's just like, it felt off. Like, I know things were off. Can you just explain all of that?
Just in a nutshell.
Yeah. Can you just explain everything I just said?
All right. Sorry. Let me know if I missed anything.
Yeah.
So there can be I'll just like put a blanket statement here, because there can be varying degrees of like what you were experiencing, right, might be completely different from someone else.
Totally.
But what you were showing me, it was more of like a bread loafing shape when you were activating your core.
Right.
And so for somebody else,
like, it was like more in the center. Like, it would like look like all like my abs, or like bloated could look like, even was like towards the center. And like up my stomach, even like, instead of going like outward, it was kind of like from the bottom up what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people that are experiencing diastasis might have, I mean, it could look like a lot of different things, right? So some people say it looks like an alien kind of poking through the middle, or some people will actually experience a really deep sinking in the middle of their abs.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be a variety of things.
And doming.
Yeah.
Because I experienced that too, right? Like, if I'm doing certain things, even like regular things during the day that I'm doing, but I'm noticing it, like I'll notice it like cone out on like more so on my left side, where it'll look like something's like poking through my abs or whatever. So I can notice that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to like say, it can look like a bunch of different things. And the reason is because you have a bunch of different core muscles.
Right. Right.
Right. So in your situation, your rectus muscles are a lot stronger. So those are your six pack muscles, and you know, they tend to get really strong because they are the ones that are more on the outside. Versus the deeper core muscles, they're much easier to target for people. They're less stretched out from pregnancy, and they're just easier to access. So
the outer ab muscles.
Yeah. And so that kind of doming was pushing forward. And not that you weren't activating your deep core muscles, but your deep core muscles, like, you can only do so much when they're tight, when they're already like pulled in, if that makes sense. So, so what you were showing me was that your deeper core muscles couldn't lengthen in order to get a good contraction. And so if you like, think of like a squat or a bicep curl, like your arm needs to go down in order to curl back up. And that's a bicep curl. Same with a squat, right? You sit in order to stand up.
Right.
And your abs need to do the same thing. Your pelvic floor needs to do the same thing. Your diaphragm needs to do the same thing.
Right.
And that all gets lost during pregnancy because you've just grown a baby in the middle and things get so out of whack.
Yeah.
And that's how we end up with a bunch of compensations.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, with the back and the butt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's the other thing I was noticing was like, cause I was seeing, and I was like watching your content or whatever. And I know this is a thing that could happen, of like constantly gripping my butt and like noticing when I'm washing dishes, I'm like, oh my God, I'm gripping my butt. And like, it's causing me to then lean back and arch my back more and stick my stomach out more. And like, my butt is tight. And then I'm like, oh, it's probably why my low back is hurting. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to straighten out. But then I feel like, okay, when I let my butt go, then everything falls forward. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So it just like, I'm like, where's my alignment? Like, it just feels like my posture is totally off. Like everything is so off. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm noticing it because, you know, especially as a mom, when you're so busy, it's just like, you don't even notice some of these things. But that's the other thing. So I'm compensating with my butt because my core, deep core muscles are weakened from pregnancy and postpartum.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of people, like their diaphragm or where their rib cage, so that's muscle that is in the base of your rib cage. Mm-hmm. It gets stuck like a broken umbrella. So a lot of people, it'll like get flat. And so if you notice your bra changes, your bra width has changed during pregnancy and postpartum. So that's a big part of it, right?
Like it's wider.
Muscle, yeah. Mm. That muscle is controlled by your rib bones are controlled by your diaphragm muscle.
Okay.
Which gets stuck.
Mine definitely is wider. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and for some people, like I was actually the opposite. My ribs got locked down.
Okay.
So I gripped down on my ribs in order mm-hmm. to create stability. And so my bra width didn't change, but I had so much tightness mm-hmm. that it was, I couldn't even lay on my stomach because my diaphragm was so tight that it was painful to lie on my side or lie on my stomach because of that muscle tightness.
Wow. Yeah. It's so interesting when you realize like where you're holding all this tension.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there are plenty of ways that we compensate postpartum because we're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So your body's like, I don't even know what's going on, but I'm going to just make this work because now we have another human or maybe two to keep alive. Yeah.
And you're breastfeeding. If you are breastfeeding.
All of that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just to like add on to that, like if you are producing milk, mm-hmm. you still have relaxin in your body 5 to 6 months post milk production.
Okay. So post when you stop breastfeeding?
Yes.
Okay. So the whole time you're breastfeeding, you have the relaxin.
Yes.
Okay. So, which I still am. And if you're listening, you are. And then even if you stopped 5 to 6 months. Okay. And how does that affect our pelvic floor, our posture, all of that?
So relaxin is the hormone that makes all of your ligaments really like loose mm-hmm. and it doesn't really care where it goes.
Okay. Yeah.
So that laxity could be in your pelvic floor, could be still in your hips. A lot of people will see it like in the front of their hips, the backs of their knees.
Yeah.
Right. So hanging with your hips forward, your knees locked.
Yeah.
Pushing your belly forward mm-hmm. for stability, like all of those things, because we've lost our center of gravity. And then we still have this like hormone going through us that's creating more or remaining elasticity, remaining instability. Mm-hmm. And then we're like trying to just like do our regular things, but our bodies had, you know, yes, it's had a ton of changes.
Yeah.
But those changes don't just go away once the baby's like out, and they certainly don't go away at 6 weeks or even 6 months, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was noticing was, and that's what made me start thinking about this was I was like, my stomach feels like it looks like I'm more pregnant now than it did when I was like 3 or 4 months postpartum. And because I'm noticing it, I'm like, what the hell? Like, so it was just so weird to me. And I'm like, I'm not eating anything different. I'm not exercising any less. Like I'm doing the same things I was doing, but I'm like, something is off if I'm looking more like poochy or whatever now than when I was 3 or 4 months postpartum. And what you were explaining, what makes sense is like, there's just been more wear and tear over the months of, and me not doing things properly. Maybe Madison's a lot heavier now. I'm holding her a lot more on my hips. The car seat is heavier when I'm picking it up and down with her. I hold it on one side. I probably don't hold it right. Like, you know, all these things that just are going on, and it's just was making everything worse, which is why I think this is now coming to a head.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is not like, this is really common.
Yeah.
Right. Like a lot of people postpartum think like, oh, okay, well, I'm over the first like 6 weeks or I'm over the first 12 weeks. And then mm-hmm. they go and do like whatever, like, and that's like awesome.
Like their regular workouts and stuff.
Yeah. And there could be like unicorns out there.
Yeah, totally.
That can do that.
Yeah.
But not most of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we don't realize is like how hard parenthood is on your body.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like motherhood is so hard on your body. And exactly to your point, like now you're not lifting a 6, 7, 8 pound baby. You're now lifting like a 12 pound, 15 pound, 20 pound, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And what's really, yeah, all the time.
Cooking while holding them, you know, like doing all these things, holding them on your hip while you're doing everything with one hand, like, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so a really interesting study that just came out, it basically showed that for you to produce milk, it takes stores from your butt.
Yes, your body I've heard takes about that.
Your butt.
Yeah, because obviously my boobs are bigger than they were before baby and my butt's smaller. And like all my, it's so funny. Whenever I put on jeans, I'm like, what the hell? It just fits so differently. Like it's loose in my butt, it's loose on my legs, but then it's like tighter around my stomach. I'm like, my body is just totally shift shaped. Yeah. So like everything just fits so weird.
Yes.
But okay, so before we get to how to prevent it during pregnancy, since we're in the postpartum conversation, let's talk about like, what is your, like, let's talk about the woman who maybe is like going to be postpartum very soon. Like, what would you recommend doing? Obviously, like getting your courses, obviously we'll talk about that, but just in general of like ways that we can really support the diastasis and just our posture and having our like core be realigned and like strengthened and all of that in early postpartum time. And then, after that, what can we do for people who are more like in my situation where you're like your months or even years postpartum and you're like, I still haven't healed this. Like, is there hope? Like, what can we do? So let's start with like newly postpartum. Like, what can we do? And I would like to also talk about not just like exercises, but like day-to-day things, like better ways to lift your baby and like do just like normal day-to-day tasks. Like how can we make it less wear and tear on our body in doing this normal stuff?
Yeah. So I think what's really helpful is just knowing that you can start doing movements pretty soon, like 24 hours, or up to 24 or 48 hours after a vaginal delivery and like 72 hours after a cesarean. And those are, okay, I'm not talking workouts. We're talking about like gentle core exercises, gentle breathing, starting to move your upper body and in ways that are supportive, right? So really just getting to know like the new changes in your body that do not include being pregnant.
Yeah.
And so incorporating movement soon is really helpful. And I'm just going to keep caveating that like soon, having movement soon does not mean like a workout. It means right, like restorative workouts.
Yeah. So what's like an example?
So there's a few different ways that you can like start breathing, right? So belly breathing is one that's really good for cesarean recovery because you're moving your scar. And it's also can be really good for early postpartum to just start getting your, like to start being aware that you're breathing into your belly.
Mm-hmm. And then yeah, it's something those early postpartum days, like I remember going through stuff, like I couldn't even tighten my core. I was like, where is it? Like, I literally like couldn't even like a month or two in, I was like, wow, it's like so hard for me to even find where it is. Like, it's so, you're just so disconnected from it. Very newly postpartum.
Yeah. It just feels like a whole, like a, I don't know. It's like a saggy.
Yeah. It's so hard to explain until you've been through it. Like, you know, if you know.
Weird deflated. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
No. So like getting a little bit of like belly breathing in the first little bit, getting a little bit of gentle pelvic floor activation. And again, that's part of the breathing because a lot of women tend to fall into a pelvic floor tightness side. So
which is me, right?
Yeah. And so here's the funny thing. Like we never really know like where we're going to fall postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
Because some women will, deliver, whether it's vaginal or C-section, and they will have like more relaxed pelvic floor muscles, more out to lunch pelvic floor muscles, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people will go into the other end of the spectrum and have muscles that are too tight.
And what are symptoms and signs you could experience if you have loose or like weak pelvic floor versus tight pelvic floor?
So here it's a bit tricky because you can leak with both.
Okay. Okay. So right? It's like overlapping. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially in the first, I'd say at least first 6 to 8 weeks, even 12 weeks, things are just changing a ton. So if you're experiencing symptoms, like you just have to let your body heal before even trying to figure out what those are.
Yeah.
But having like,
you might not even notice them in those 6 to 8 weeks because you're so deprived of sleep. You're like,
yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it is normal to have a little bit of leaking, maybe even some incontinence in those first like 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So like if you are listening to this and you're going to be newly postpartum, like just prepare for it and know that that is normal and not to panic because things are shifting and moving.
Yeah.
So definitely like if you can't feel your pelvic floor muscles move, or it's a bit hard to tell right in the beginning, again, if you have too lax or too tight pelvic floor muscles, but holding in a tampon is one way, right? So, or like if you're using a menstrual cup or anything like that, it's like if you cannot hold something up, if you feel like it slides out a lot, that is a good kind of marker to maybe you hold some laxity. And if you have like painful insertion or maybe a hard time inserting, a hard time reaching orgasm, that can be a sign of pelvic floor tightness.
Even like painful sex could be a sign of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So those are like a couple like markers, to look out for.
And even reaching orgasm is tight pelvic floor. Get out.
Yes. Because I don't know. I can't remember the exact number. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago and I forgot to look it up again, but to reach orgasm, your pelvic floor needs to contract and relax. Like, I don't know, like 10,000 times.
What? Oh my God. That's so crazy.
So you have to be able to fully let go. But you also need the strength to like contract like a billion times.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So now, the things to do to support your pelvic floor, are there different things to do if you have a tight pelvic floor versus a weak pelvic floor, or is it the same no matter what?
I would say starting out, everything is going to come down to some just getting like more coordination with breathing.
Okay.
First, because if your pelvic floor is tight, like, or relaxed or too relaxed, it can be coming from somewhere. It's not just like it's not like somebody punched you in the face, you had a black eye.
Right.
I mean, if it's like past that early postpartum phase, then we need to figure out, okay, well, what else is happening in your body? And for a lot of women, they tend to fall into like a high chest breathing pattern where they're breathing up into their neck and shoulders, their diaphragm isn't coming down.
Right.
And so if you're listening to this, like your diaphragm needs to come down in order for your pelvic floor to also lengthen. Okay. And so it's like a game of catch. Like you take an inhale, your diaphragm comes down. It's like someone throwing you a ball and your pelvic floor catches.
Okay.
And then your pelvic floor passes the ball back.
And goes up.
That can
on the
contraction.
Exhale.
Yeah. And then, you know, your diaphragm catches. And so it's this back and forth game of catch between your diaphragm and your pelvic floor. Or like you can think of like two jellyfish up and down.
Right. Now, is it good to do belly breathing? Because I thought it wasn't good to inhale through your belly and it's supposed to inhale more so on your sides and your back. Because I'm a belly breather. Like I used to breathe through my chest, but it's been years. I've like trained my body to belly breathe, but now I'm like, okay, I'm not supposed to be doing that now. So like, it's hard for me to take a deep breath now because I'm like, shit, I'm trying to take a deep breath. And like, I'll get it in like my sides and my ribs and my back. But then I'm like, I also feel like I still need to inhale more, but it'll go into my belly. So I'm like, am I not supposed to do that now? Like,
yeah. So this is like where that child's pose breathing that you're coming and that you're doing in Core Essentials comes in.
Yeah.
So I like to do a little bit of belly breathing early postpartum.
Okay.
And for cesarean recovery, but after like a few weeks, even you can start skipping that because you start just breathing into already stretched out belly muscles.
Right.
And we want to breathe into the tight spaces, not into the belly muscles. But in that first little bit, where, you know, if you try and breathe into some of those tight spots, you're just not going to be able to get it. It's going to be really hard. We want to get a little bit of breathing into belly because your muscles and your fascia need that gentle bit of resistance.
Okay.
In the beginning to start realizing they can contract back as well. So it's good to do in the beginning, but after that little bit, then you can kind of skip it and start going into the side and back breathing.
Okay, right. So then I was going to say, so instead of belly breathing, you still don't want to breathe in your chest, but you more so want to breathe like, so like if you put your hands on like your ribs, you'll feel them expand. Like that's like what I'm like doing to Tom, which I know to do like more so like during exercise while you're like holding your core in, like breathing through there. But it's something like I noticed during the day or even meditation. I'm like, I definitely breathe into my belly more than anything else. So it's like it's just like retrain your brain and then it'll like eventually just like do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So partly brain, right? Cause your muscles are connected to your brain, but also like retraining those muscles. And you know, you're doing core essentials. You have some of the tools that we like use to create resistance against your rib cage and to like stop the, to put resistance against your like top ribs or excuse me, your front ribs and your belly so that you're not allowing space there and instead kind of forcing it to the sides and the back a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it's like your diaphragm is a muscle and we need to give it resistance and train it with a bit of resistance. So, you know, you can use your hands. Seated is a bit hard because you're upright. You're already in a resisted pattern. Like your muscles are under tension. So if you did it, say like laying down or even slightly reclined would be better, but putting your hands along your rib cage
and then
like holding. So you can like hold and then try and breathe in. And use your hands to not allow, like use your hands, like your hands are like the weights that you're holding at the gym. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and then do a few where you're trying to hold your rib cage down as you inhale. And then with your exhale, you're going to push your rib cage in a little bit until you get all of the air out.
That, like I can feel my ribs going out and in, but if I want to take like a real full inhale, it goes into my belly. And I'm like, okay, I have to just like stop it. So I'll stop it, but then I just don't fully inhale, or I'll then like take the rest up in my chest, which I know we're not supposed to do either.
You can chest breathe. That's okay. Oh. You can, a little bit of chest breathing is okay. You
towards the air end.
I think it's when we get into like this, like lifting our shoulders to inhale or arching our backs to get it, you know, when people like need to get a big breath in, they're like,
yeah.
And they lift their chest to the sky to get an inhale.
So that's better than the belly, like doing the ribs and back and then chest.
Yeah. So think of it like a 360. Like you do need a little in the front. You need it in the sides and the back. And you need a little, and you need to like feel like it's going down towards your pelvis.
Right.
And and then you need a little bit in your chest too, because your sternum actually needs to move.
Okay, I'm assuming if you're listening to this specific episode that you are someone who is either trying to conceive like actively right now, maybe you've been trying for a while, or maybe you just started, or you're someone who is prepping for pregnancy, whether you want to get pregnant in the next year or less, or maybe you're even a mom right now and you're just listening to this episode, whatever it is, if you're postpartum, if you're in any of those three buckets, you need to know about this company that I am absolutely obsessed with. I personally use them every single day. I recommend them to all of my clients, to all of my friends. Like I'm freaking obsessed with them. And the company that I'm talking about is Needed. And this is for fertility, for pregnancy, for postpartum, for women's health in general. It is astounding to me the amount of shitty prenatals and just supplements in general, pre and postnatals, and supplements in general that are on the market and that have really good marketing, but really shitty quality ingredients, really low amount of nutrients that are not actually absorbable in our body, with other ingredients in there that are horrible, even ones that your doctor recommends or ones that you go to the store to get, even in Whole Foods, like even some that influencers recommend. I've done podcast episodes on this because I have a lot to say about it. But we need to make sure that we are taking high quality supplementation, especially when it comes to your fertility, to your pregnancy, to postpartum, to breastfeeding. Like it is so important to have nutrient density, meaning that you are absorbing the amount of nutrients that you're taking and that you actually are having an abundant amount of them, because not only are you supporting your fertility to get pregnant, which is not life threatening, so we need to make sure we have extra nutrients to go around, but you're also growing a human and you want to make sure you have an abundant amount of nutrients to not only support this growing baby and a growing organ, but also just to support yourself. And then postpartum is extremely energy intensive. You're on the least amount of sleep you've ever had in your life. You're breastfeeding. If you are breastfeeding, you're taking care of a human. Like, we got to make sure that we are supporting ourselves as best as we possibly can. And needed is the way to go. I love that their nutrient density is on point. They have such a high amount of the certain minerals and antioxidants and actual nutrients that we need in our body in forms that your body can actually absorb, because that's so huge. A lot of companies will have specific nutrients in forms that are unabsorbable in the body. So we really want to make sure that they're absorbable forms, which Needed obviously has. They're backed by research. They have practitioners who are helping formulate the formulations, the supplements. They have third-party testing. Like, they're as clean as it gets. You know, if I'm taking this shit, it's clean, okay? I'm a stickler. I don't put anything in my body, specifically supplement-wise, that is not like super, super clean with the most amount of like testing that could possibly be done, okay? So I love that about them too. And I feel amazing on them. Like, honestly, I'm still waking up multiple times a night and I have energy because of these prenatals that are also postnatals. They're amazing. So go to thisisneeded.com. You could use code Corinne, C-O-R-I-N-N-E at checkout. I recommend taking a prenatal a year or less before you start getting pregnant, right? So if you're like, I want to get pregnant in the next year or less, start taking a prenatal now. Obviously, if you are actively trying to conceive, when you are pregnant and when you are postpartum as well, even if you're not breastfeeding, I recommend taking a postnatal for like a good 9 months after you give birth. If you're not breastfeeding, if you are breastfeeding, continue taking this prenatal, postnatal for the entire duration of you breastfeeding. And then a few months after that, because it's, again, really, really energy intensive. We have to make sure that we have enough nutrients in our body to support us, to support baby, all the things. So I love their prenatal. I also love their vegan omega that they have, their vegan DHA EPA, obsessed, so freaking good. They have a, for those of you who take collagen, they have collagen, they have an egg quality support, which is really great. They have a stress support that I like a lot too. They have so many amazing things over there. What I personally take from theirs is their choline, their iron, their pre-postnatal, and did I miss something? Their choline, their iron, and their pre and postnatal. Oh, their omega that I just talked about. Those are the ones that I personally use and take. I'm obsessed with them. Go to thisisneeded.com. Use code Corinne at checkout for a discount. And if you have any questions at all about any of their supplements, obviously come message me. I'll be happy to support you in it. You will feel a difference. Get on it ASAP. Thisisneeded.com. Use code Corinne at checkout. Right. Okay. So a little in the chest is fine. Okay. So that will help a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's then, so crazy to think of all this.
I want to, like, because I know that breathing sucks. It is not the workout you want to be doing. Cause you're right. this is like mentally, it's a lot of work, and it's physically doesn't feel as rewarding as like going for a run or, you know, slamming out like a HIIT workout or whatever. Mm-hmm. So here's where I think people can get the benefit of like why we need to include this, like, yes, for your pelvic floor, but also, when you get that lengthening in your rib cage and your diaphragm, it tethers your core and your pelvis, right? So if you can imagine a like someone with a parachute jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah.
So if your rib cage is locked down, like your diaphragm doesn't open and close, that parachute doesn't open.
Oh, so it goes all on your belly.
And so it might go all in your belly, when you inhale, but essentially like your parachute doesn't open. And so like your exhale falls flat in terms of how you're engaging your core.
Okay. Right.
And the same is like if that parachuter jumps out of the plane and like the tethers are like all over the place and it just like flaps around in the in the wind. Right. Yeah. There's nothing tethering it down to get that nice contraction.
Okay.
So your diaphragm moving more is going to make your abs move more in a lengthening, right? So you inhale, your diaphragm moves, your abs lengthen.
Okay, which is what we want.
Exactly. Right. So your muscles lengthen and contract. Same thing. Your diaphragm lengthens, your abs lengthen, and then they contract. So your abs contract, your diaphragm contracts, your pelvic floor as well. Right. So it's all that whole system. So if you want stronger abs, if you want really resilient abs, if you want to actually see definition, you need your rib cage and your diaphragm to move with the inhale and the exhale. Otherwise, you're just like poking from the outside.
Right. Okay. Wow. This is so good. Okay. So breathing is important. Obviously we talked about the tightness and the, relaxed pelvic floor signs, which is important. Now what can someone do during pregnancy to help, obviously not prevent diastasis, but to help support themselves so that they have a better time recovering postpartum? Because I think that that's super important, and that's something, and like, I exercised during my pregnancy. I did pelvic floor work and stuff, but like, again, my issue was I'm thinking even during pregnancy was, and just even before, I think I just had a tight pelvic floor. I was a dancer my whole life. I was on kick line. Like I've always been active. I've always just feel like it was too tight. Right. And like, I didn't notice that. So like what I want to do definitely for next pregnancy, which is no time soon, but, like going to even a pelvic floor, you know, therapist or whatever prior to see like, where are things at? What do I specifically need? I think it's going to be really helpful. But anyway, what are some things that someone could do who is planning to get pregnant, who is pregnant right now, to help with the whole process?
Yes. Okay. So seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist, so you know what your baseline is yeah, always exactly. going to be, right? It's like you ask people for like their like numbers and all of their like hormone levels and things right. like that, right? It's like, it's right. the same thing. You need a baseline. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like, so I teach my, my prenatal clients, I make them lift weights. Yeah. I make them grow their glutes because we know your glutes disappear.
Yeah.
So, and your glutes are like a window to your pelvic floor. So if you see someone walking around with a very flat butt, like most moms, their pelvic floor is, that's representing their pelvic floor.
Wow.
Right. So even so, especially that tucked under bottom.
If you didn't lift weights prior to getting pregnant, can you do it while you're pregnant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like get like check in with your doctor because right, I don't know everyone's pregnancy story.
Totally. Yes. Exactly. Someone if they have like a high risk pregnancy or whatever, like always consult your doctor with all of this. Okay. But lifting weights. So heavy, like slow strength training.
So yeah, strength training for glutes, to your tolerance, obviously work with somebody that has really good, like training behind them, because there's just lots of things that happen in pregnancy. Like you might get like SPD pain or like SI joint pain or whatever. Right. So, but the way I think of it is like, the more you can lift, and incorporate like getting good length in your glutes and then contraction, right? So like length is sitting and then contracting is standing if you're doing a squat. The more you're going to bank that for later. So think of it as like paying yourself for later.
Yeah.
For your body, right? Getting that strength for later. And I always like think of the, you know, like the pregnant woman lying on the couch and eating bonbons and like relaxing and letting you do whatever you because your body does it.
But
like
no. Hell no.
No.
How many bonbons ever in this crew?
Exactly. So I teach all of my mamas to work to add in a ton of strength for glutes, for hips. Some release work as well because you build up tension, especially like around your sacrum and your deep hip rotators because of how your body changes and grows during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So we're always trying to like get a little bit ahead of some of those compensation.
That's right? smart. Yeah.
And then a big part of my training for pregnant clients in terms of pelvic floor support is training for training the different positions their pelvis needs to go through in order to grow and deliver a baby. So you have to have all these different positions, right? Like an open, like your pelvis needs to open and then allow space for the baby to like, drop down or engage. And then also for the bottom of your pelvis to open.
Wow. It's so crazy to think about it. I'm like,
Exactly. So there's all these different phases, right? And your pelvic floor, if you don't know this, like your pelvic floor does not play a huge role in childbirth. Your pelvic floor's job in childbirth is during delivery is to get out of the way.
Right. Yeah.
so a huge part of training during pregnancy is to like know where your pelvic floor is, right? You know where it is, you know how to contract it, you know how to relax it. And then you know how to allow it to move out of the way in order to deliver.
Right. Which is more of that relaxing
It's a relaxing, like it's a very like open pelvic floor, or I like, I'll tell my moms, like, you are going to like think of like opening the bottom of your pelvis,
yeah,
and then breathing like you were going to let go of a bowel movement.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's it. I literally pooped during labor.
Yeah.
100% did. I was like, I could not. I'm like, I don't know how people don't poop when they're birthing a human. Like, I don't understand how you don't. But anyway. Nope. I totally did. I was like, I talked about my whole birth cert on this podcast already. Yeah. I'm like, it's like, I don't know how you don't. And if someone tells you don't, but they're probably lying to you and they just don't want you to feel bad. Cause it's such a release. I'm like, I'm literally letting everything go. So anything that's in there, like it's coming out.
I mean, your baby's just like squishing it out too.
Exactly. Yeah. It was such a cool, I loved birth. I'm like one of those weird people that loved it.
I loved. Yeah. My first, not so much.
It was so good. Anyway. Okay. So I love all of that. And then for, postpartum, like aside from like breathing and stuff like that, like mm-hmm. what are the things that we're just doing day to day that we could make sure that like, okay, our like holding in our core before we maybe lift the baby up, and like, how do we actually, because it's not just tightening your core muscles, right? It's doing it in a way where it's like activating the deep core muscles, right? So
yeah,
it's like, how can we make sure we're doing those things, unless there's anything else you want to add for pregnancy, but I just want to make sure.
I will kind of backtrack just for a second, because I want to touch on diastasis during pregnancy.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Because I think it's important to like, yes, you will probably get a diastasis. Yeah. No big deal. Right.
Right.
But people think like, oh, cause you have a baby growing there that you shouldn't be activating your core. And you should mm-hmm. actually like not doing crunches, not like core work, but you should be learning how to activate your core in a way that's going to then support you postpartum.
Right. Okay.
Right. So the more, when I say more, like not like doing like, I'm going to do like tons of this number, rolls, strong core. Like,
yeah.
It's more like the better you can get at, yes, hugging the baby, getting mm-hmm. that lift and that wrapping, I call it like a saran wrap around your baby, bringing it in as close as you can, learning how to hug in and then how to let go mm-hmm. is going to like teach you to do that later on. Mm-hmm. And then there's also ways that we can like, help to reduce the diastasis that is going to like pair into postpartum, because the more we can get side and back rib cage expansion during pregnancy, it's like, okay, so the same with the belly breathing that talk we just had, if you are just breathing out into your belly during pregnancy or wherever it's going to go, right? You might create an injury in your pelvic floor or hernia. Right. Or even like a hiatal, like a diaphragm hernia. Yeah. If you are not able to manage pressure.
Okay.
And so that's what can happen. Like prolapse, leaking, hernias, that kind of stuff, a bigger diastasis.
Okay.
And so it's managing pressure with our breath, right? Mm. So our core canister is our pressure canister, just like a soda pop.
Yeah. Okay. We know what you're talking about now.
And so we want to create more space into the side and the back of our rib cage. And so sometimes it's that side breathing or getting back breathing so that we can direct the air into different areas for as long as you can. Cause you get to a certain point where you're like, I can't feel anything.
Yeah. When you're pregnant. Yeah. You're like, I'm just literally breathing in my chest. I can't barely breathe. Yeah.
So that is like one of the best ways to help prevent like more extreme diastasis and also prevent pelvic floor injuries.
Just breathing in the right spot. Like it's simple.
Dispersing your breathing out. Mm-hmm. So it's not going into spaces that are already compromised, like your pelvic floor and your core.
Which is what, this whole time we're talking, I'm like focusing on my breathing. Obviously I'm paying attention, but I'm focusing on my breathing. I'm like, oh my God, it's just so easy for it to go right to my stomach where I've been just so used to doing that. So it's just going to be a practice, but okay. Love that. Cause that's something that's free people could do. Like, you know, like you just literally like focus on where your breath is going. It's just muscle memory too. So it's like, the more you do it, the more it's going to be impacting you.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so easy to do. So like, make sure you write notes.
Yeah, exactly. Take notes. Okay. And then now say, my question is, say you do all this during pregnancy, but then postpartum, you don't
quickly like do stuff to help support yourself will like I did, you could still have these issues, right? Cause I'm like, I did a lot of this during pregnancy, but I had a big gap of time of really not doing anything postpartum and, or doing things in a way that's going to make it worse, right? Like maybe lifting her in a wrong way or whatever. So like that can happen too, obviously.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I don't want to say like doing these things is going to stop you from ever getting injured or creating issues, because that's not like, that's not the case.
Right.
And I had issues that came up at 2.5 years postpartum.
Yeah. It's so wild. Wow.
Like and any of these issues can happen to anyone, right? Like you can get a diastasis or a prolapse or leaking, as a male.
Right.
If you've never been pregnant, right? Wow. Like all of these things can happen to anyone. Mm. It's just way more like there's so much more, when you're pregnant and postpartum, it's just like, you're so much more susceptible to it.
Right.
And so you can do all the right things. And, and I hate to say this, but yes, it can still happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's really empowering to know, like you can
heal it.
You can keep going, right? Like you can keep changing.
Right.
And there's always things that your body is going to learn, because yes, you know, maybe you were like sitting on the toilet and like you sneezed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so like that true.
That is like a way where you can just like injure your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
Or like you have a sick toddler that you have to carry for a block or whatever, two blocks, or they fall off their bike and you carry them and you're, you know, like maybe you're not strong enough to carry.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a toddler. Maybe it's like my 70-pound-year-old, 9-year-old or whatever. Yeah. Right? At least it's only 70 pounds, but
little things like that. Cause I'm thinking now, Madison was like screaming, crying on a walk, whatever. I forget what happened. And I had to like lightly jog home with pushing the stroller. And I think I was like holding her, and I'm not a runner. Like if you see me running, like it's because I'm running from something. Like I'm not, someone's chasing me. Okay. Like, I'm never going to be a runner. And like, I think that put too much pressure on my pelvic, like, so it is little things like that. And it's just also being aware. I think that's what's really important, is like actually paying attention to these things, because we can get so wrapped up in taking care of the baby, everything else, your job, where like your body is the last thing you're thinking about. But I think it's so important to actually recognize, like, okay, when you're doing the dishes, like, are you squeezing your glutes? How is your posture? Like, what are you doing? Like, where are you feeling these things? So then, cause now every time I'm still doing it, like I'm still noticing I'm clenching my butt, but I'm noticing it quickly. And I'm like, okay, let me release it. And like, I'm just like trying to get back into a better posture more quickly. So I like retrain myself. So I think noticing is huge, but anyway, okay. So, postpartum, what are the things that we could do during the day, like maybe when we are doing the dishes or lifting the baby, that like we're like bending over in the tub to clean them? Like, what can we do to help prevent making things worse and to support ourselves?
Yeah. Okay. So just, you know, motherhood's going to be really hard, so prepare for it.
Yeah.
But like, things that you can do to support that, like if you're at the sink doing dishes or cutting up, you know, food, whatever you're doing, and you notice they're clenching. So you can, if you have a drawer or a cupboard there, you can open that up and put one foot in front. So you're staggering your stance.
Oh, okay. Should you alternate which foot, or does it matter?
You could. Okay. Yeah, you absolutely could. If you don't have a drawer or a cupboard that you can do that with, you can like get a little step stool to put there.
Yoga block or
something. Exactly. Just like disperse your weight even. And the reason it may be a little bit harder to just like put one foot in front of the other, because you're standing at a cupboard. cabinets, right? But maybe you have an overhang, like in an island or something, and you can do a staggered stance.
Yeah.
So a staggered stance is actually less pressure on your pelvic floor than like a full, like 2 feet under you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So either like a yoga block right next to you that you could just like put your foot on, or actually in the cabinet.
Either I'd say like, just see what feels good, because some people will need like a little bit of a higher step, and the yoga block might be a little bit lower than they would feel as comfortable for their back. Right.
Okay.
To take some of the pressure off.
Okay.
And
should you activate your core or no?
Okay. So that's a tricky one, because some people activate their core too much all the time, right? Some people hold their core in.
Mm.
And so we have to find a balance.
Right.
Do you need a little bit of core activity? Maybe, right? Mm-hmm. So some people might need that. The way I like to think of it is like, can you just lift your pubic bone a little bit up towards you and let go of your back?
Okay.
Right. So pubic bone.
I'm like, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so
back lengthens, glutes unclench.
Okay. And for someone, so like we could listen and they could find themselves in this, for the person who has a tighter pelvic floor, like I do, like maybe like they said, you could have the leaking. I don't, but that doesn't mean I don't have a tight pelvic floor, but you said you could have that pain during sex, orgasm problems. Like maybe it's tight to put a tampon in. Like, would that generally mean that we tighten our core too much and hold it too much, or that's not?
It could.
Yeah. So just be aware of that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. When I say like, you could be tightening your core too much, like you might wear like pants that are too tight, mm-hmm. right? That like pull your belly in the middle. Mm-hmm. You might just have a tendency that you don't realize, like where you're gripping either like your ribs downward, right? Mm-hmm. So one way to tell is like, if you have been sitting like at a desk or a computer, yeah. and if you stand up and you have like a deep, like wrinkle line under your rib cage.
Okay.
Right. That's like a way that we will grip down on our rib cage with mm-hmm. our upper abs, and mm. anything where we're like gripping, it's like pushing pressure down. And so your pelvic floor responds by tightening because right. there's a lot of pressure coming down. Right.
And clenching your jaw too. Right.
Yeah. Clenching okay. your jaw is like, especially like in our day and age where we have our phones a lot, or we work on a computer, right? So there's a lot more forward head posture.
Right. Or down.
And down. Yeah. And the more forward your head gets, the more pressure that your pelvic floor needs to manage.
Wow.
So just
crazy. I'm not massaging my jaw now, guys. For those of you listening, I'm now massaging my jaw. Like, I'm really taking this shit seriously.
So I'll say like, and you know this from Core Essentials, like when we get tall, when we need to stand up really tall, right? A lot of us will lift our chest, push our shoulders back.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone to forget that, because that is going to lead you to more pain. I want you to stand up like someone's got a, like you have a ponytail on the top of your head.
I love this analogy.
And it's being pulled up and slightly forward.
I literally do this in the more, like when I notice I'm clenching my butt, I'm like, okay. And like, let me lean forward. It feels so awkward though. Like I literally feel like I'm leaning forward, but I'm like, this is how I'm supposed to be. Stand like I shouldn't be in this other posture where I'm clenching, I'm arching, my stomach's out. I'm like, but it just feels better because I'm used to it, but it doesn't actually feel good long-term, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're like, this feels super weird, like maybe take a picture or have someone take a picture of you in that posture just to make sure you're not like falling forward.
Yeah.
We don't want to create, just in case.
Do it in the mirror.
Do you said to do this?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, the space between your ribs and your pelvis, right? So that's your core muscles. I want you to think just like, can it be without arching? So without like making your back arch or without crunching, can you create more space between your rib cage and your pelvis? So it's like literally like, can you lift your rib cage a little bit taller as you're doing those things, right? So we, even like when we're active, standing at the counter, chopping veggies or something, we tend to like slump because it is way less energy on our body to fall into that like slumpy posture than it is to be in a more active posture.
Wow.
So we burn more calories when we're in a better posture, which is great for us to know if you're looking for that. But think about like just getting a bit taller, and like if you need a little bit of support, just lifting pubic bones a tiny bit, letting go of your back, and creating that little bit of space in your butt and creating that little bit of space between your rib cage and your pelvis can be really powerful.
Okay.
And then you can take that to like, you can take that to anything, right?
So anything you're doing standing.
Yeah. Even if you're like half kneeling or something, right? Like if you're over the bathtub.
Okay. Yeah. That's the other
right. Or like going to like we can't always be in perfect posture. We can't not crunch and slouch and do these
breastfeeding
things
and stuff. But so say like at the tub then, like, would you suggest doing a staggered like kneeling thing where like you have one knee down and then one leg kind of like out, or should we have like just both knees down? Like what would be best for that?
I mean, so if it's really hard for you to be two knees down and you're leaning forward, like that's a lot of pressure on your back. And if you were a butt gripper, you're going to immediately grip and you're going to round your back to protect.
Yeah, that's exactly
so, So have a
picture of me. That's exactly what I do.
And it's awkward, right? You're like trying to get over a bathtub. So if it's really like, you can like side, like be to the side of the tub if that works, or like, you know, have one foot a little bit more staggered.
Okay.
And hopefully it's not for that long. I know you're particularly in a phase right now where you have to do a lot of leaning into the tub.
I'm like, I think I'm just going to get in the tub with her at this point. Like, it's probably easier.
Yeah, just do that.
I'm just going to bathe with her. And then, what about lifting, like the baby, the car seat, the stroller? You just obviously recommend exhaling and then like activating core before you do all that.
Yeah. So, I'll give you two ways that you can do this. So there, so the most typical way is like a blow before you go, and you can practice this getting out of the seat, getting out of your car, getting off the toilet, where you're just exhaling to stand up. So it's a blow before you go.
Oh, even just before like you move, standing up after you're sitting down.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, so, so blow, blow meaning exhale before you move.
Okay.
And in the grand scheme of things, that exhale is going to contract your pelvic floor, and your pelvic floor controls a little bit of deep core activation also. Right. So you get that nice contraction. It's not a lot, right? It was just like a humming in the background. That's all those muscles need, is a little hum in the background to create pressure. So there's that pop can, that pressure, right? Support. Great. We're good.
Okay.
And I'm going to take this to more of an exercise scenario. If you, have maybe pelvic floor, laxity.
Mm-hmm. So it's like too relaxed.
So maybe if you have like pelvic floor muscles that are too relaxed, my AirPods are dying.
We can still hear you. It's fine.
Okay. Then, you might need to, do more exhale, like if you're like in both directions.
Okay.
Like an exhale down and up. Right. Okay. So there's the most useful, obvious one is blow before you go, but you can also do a full exhale. Like say you were going to do squats or go down and then back up to pick up your kid. You might exhale through the whole thing.
Okay.
If you're brand new to this and you're like, not sure if once you get down to the bottom to pick up your kid that you're going to be able to exhale and activate things.
Right.
Start your exhale at the top.
Okay.
Down and back up with the whole exhale. Yeah.
And so we shouldn't fully engage and tighten our core before lifting them. It just has to be the little hum in the back.
It should be. Yeah. Like your baby's not 200 pounds.
Okay. Cause I'm like fully activating. I'm like, before I lift up the car seat, I'm like, I'm fully activating, like lifting it. Cause it's like, it is heavy.
Okay. So meet that, right? Like if you're the car seat or your stroller or your groceries, like if it's a Costco size box or like what, like something that's heavier than, you know, then match that with your exhale.
Okay. Got it.
Versus like, we don't need like a hardcore brace. Right. Like we're not going to like Hulk out.
Right. Just to pick the baby up. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so try and match that. And that will, right. Because we don't want to be then like overactivating every single time we're doing any task. Your body's not going to understand that you just need, you know, that it just has like, it has these, all these nuances for you to be able to like function through the day because your pelvic floor is going to respond to that. If you're like reefing on your core to do a little task.
Yeah.
And right. So a lot of like workouts are like getting you to like hardcore activate your core.
Yeah.
But like your core can't take that much loading constantly and your pelvic floor has to match it. And like, you know, and you're like, but all I'm doing is lifting a leg.
Yeah.
Which might be really hard at first,
right?
But if you've been doing that for 2 months, 3 months, a year, whatever it is, right? Like then your body's like, that's not hard. I don't need to like exhale to high heaven just to like get my leg up. That should feel like a gentle exhale lift.
Right. Oh my God. So good. This is so helpful. And what I want everyone listening to know is like, whether you're postpartum and you're experiencing this, like you're preparing for pregnancy, whatever, like it obviously things like leaking and this pain, whatever, it's not normal. So we don't want to normalize it and don't want to just say like, oh, of course I'm leaking, or of course I can't do X, Y, and Z because I had a baby. Like, no, we want to get it handled, but like your body is designed to heal and you can like correct these issues with gentle things, right? It's also about like not killing your body, thinking you have to like do such intense stuff to actually like correct what's going on. So I want everyone to know where they can find you, like what's your Instagram handle, what courses you have for us, like all the things, so everyone could go and check everything out.
Yeah. So you can find me over on Instagram. It's at pilates.strong.mom.
And I'll put this on the show notes too.
And so I have the early days, as you were saying. So it's my like early postpartum guide. I have a few different things. The ones that I really like to focus people into, cause I think they're the best personally, are, core essentials, which is what I'm taking. Yeah. And that's like getting your core to like, it is more those gentler moves, but like once you get into like week 3-4, like you're going to sweat.
I'm just doing week 1 right now. And it's humbling though, I will tell you, because I'm like, wow, I didn't realize I was doing these cat-cows wrong. I didn't realize I was doing the glute bridge wrong. Like, you know, like these things I've been doing for years. I'm like, damn, I've been using the wrong muscles to do it. Really, which is always like, be a beginner, like always go in and be a beginner and just like drop your ego, because like you need to help yourself. So anyway, core essential, early days, and then strength and restore.
And then, and so strength and restore is like my full comprehensive program that covers like, it covers like full body strength. We do Pilates, we do strength training. This is for postpartum. Yeah. Okay.
And you work with clients who are pregnant. Is that just on a one-on-one session or like basis, or do you have a course for that?
I don't have a course for pregnancy yet. Okay. It will be coming.
But one-on-one you work
soon.
With
them. Yeah. One-on-one virtually. Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. And I'll say like, I'm a pelvic floor physio dropout. Like I did pelvic floor physio. I'm going to tell you like probably for I don't even want to say I'm embarrassed, like probably for like a year.
Don't be embarrassed.
And then I was like, I'm just not doing these. I'm not doing these. Like I would do them. And I was like, I don't feel like I'm seeing the results. And this is like nothing on my physio. Like, I was like, I feel like I'm stuck in this low level of exercise.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can't do this. Like it was driving me nuts.
Yeah.
And this is really what Strength and Restore is based off of, because I don't want you, and you probably don't want to be laying around doing Kegels and doing like a bunch of and not the core essentials it's definitely not low level. And we definitely have like a beginner kind of phase in Strength and Restore. Like there is a beginner phase for sure. But if you want to figure out how to strengthen your pelvic floor and your core and progress past those like toe tap, low level exercises, then that is the place to be, because that's where we start getting into more like strength training, like how you can progress your core safely, effectively. And like, I'm going to just like without all the BS, like it's very no fluff. It's not like you're not going to see a bunch of like, it's not that like type of like booty band and pulsing and
it's very like,
this is the exercise is going to get you to stop peeing your pants and feeling amazing. And like, I had a client start last week and she was like, I don't even know. Like, I can't say like, I don't want to say, maybe I'm tricking myself, but like it's been 1 week and I'm not leaking.
Yeah. It's amazing how quickly your body can respond when you're doing the things that like you need to be doing with an expert showing you like, hi, this is what you need to do. You know? So it's like, you just want to stop guessing. Like that's what this is for. So I'm going to put everything in the show notes for everybody. Go follow Dee, check all these out. Obviously you could always just message her. She's very responsive to send her a message. Be like, hey, I'm not sure exactly which one is for me. And she can help you decide which course would be best for her. She also has a ton of free resources on her Instagram, like really awesome, like reels explaining everything. So definitely go check it out. Highly recommend. Dee, thank you so much for your time and dropping all this knowledge. I really, really appreciate
it. You're welcome. I have a coupon code actually.
Oh, you do?
Okay. For you guys. Yeah. Sorry. Before I forgot. It's Corinne. So it's your name. 10.
Oh, perfect.
So you can get 10% off Core Essentials or Strength and Restore.
Amazing.
Which is awesome. So
oh my God, that's so amazing.
Please like get in touch with me over on Instagram if you have any questions about like where you should go, which programs you should go into.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'd love to see you there and support you.
That is so exciting. Okay. So code Corinne10, CORINNE10. Okay. I'll put that in the show notes too. Thank you so much. That's so generous, guys. 10% off. That's so awesome. Okay. I love it. Thank you, Dee. I appreciate you. And the best thing you could do for our listener, for our guest coming on, is if you're listening to this and you loved it, please share it with someone who is pregnant, who's postpartum, share it on your social media and tag us. Let us know what your biggest takeaway was. We always love hearing from you. So thank you for being here and listening, and I will chat with you on the next one. Thank you again, Dee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. If you loved this episode and learned something valuable, please share it with a friend who you think would also love it, or post it on social media and tag me so I could personally say thank you for helping me spread this important message. I am beyond grateful to be here with you. So until next time, stay intentional, stay consistent, and always mind your hormones.